Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for knowing that it is all true. We pray for the one who preaches this morning, Lord, for you know her sins are many. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. There is an old story that floats around the Episcopal Diocese of Mississippi. I have probably heard the story a dozen times, and I think of it every Easter. Years ago, the story goes, one Easter morning, a priest took to the pulpit to preach his Easter sermon. Now, this is probably pretty obvious to you, but Easter sermons are a big deal for preachers. Preachers spend days, if not weeks, preparing for an Easter sermon. It's the time when the church is packed with people. Everyone's in their Sunday best. The Easter lilies are out, right? You want your Easter sermon to be very meaningful. But this preacher, all those years ago, preached a different kind of an Easter sermon. Legend has it that he took to the pulpit, took a good, long look at the congregation, leaned into the microphone, and simply said, "Happy Easter. It's all true. Amen." And then he sat down. Now, that's the kind of thing you can only really do once as a preacher. You can't get in the pulpit every Christmas and Easter and say it's all true and sit down. But it was quite powerful. And it is exactly the kind of sermon that Thomas would have needed to hear all those years ago. We interpret the story of Thomas, or as tradition has come to call him, Doubting Thomas, in many different ways. Sometimes we shame Thomas for not believing. Sometimes we quote Jesus, who says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We may quote Jesus to call out our brothers and sisters who are struggling with their faith. For the record, it never helps people who are struggling with their faith to quote that passage to them. But I would say that our current culture actually leans a bit in the opposite direction. We live in a time when it feels like everything is being torn down, when doubt feels like it's celebrated. People question government, religion, and even the American Red Cross, right? All in this goal to find out all the bad things. All in the name of finding this ever elusive truth. But what we see in the gospel is different. We see that Thomas tried to tear it all down, but there Jesus stands, Jesus, the capital T, truth. And Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God," right? You can almost hear the relief in Thomas's voice. He did not need another thing in his life to be false. He did not need another thing in his life to doubt. He didn't need another thing to let him down. "My Lord and my God," he says. The story of Thomas is not that our doubt is okay. It is the story of Jesus stopping at nothing to love us. And this is the real truth. He will stop at nothing. There's a new documentary coming out about the Reverend Fred Rogers. You may know him as Mr. Rogers. The documentary is called "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" And if you're looking for an opportunity to cry, I suggest you look at the preview for it on YouTube. Many of you may know this, but the cardigan-wearing man who hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was also an ordained Presbyterian pastor, which kind of makes all the sense in the world to me. Mr. Rogers was someone who told the truth. He had a low-budget kid show on public television. He talked to sock puppets as a profession, and he wore cardigans that his mother made for him. And yet he got on television week after week and told the truth to any child whose family could afford a cheap television antenna. It's amazing. Anybody could watch Mr. Rogers, right? And he told children about divorce. He told children about death. We recently watched as a family one of the earliest episodes, and the entire episode is about how difficult change is, which I think is something that we could all take a moment to watch right now. But most importantly, he told children the truth about themselves. He told them that they were loved just the way they are. I was struck recently by an old clip I saw of Mr. Rogers, and it wasn't from his show. It was from an episode of the Arsenio Hall show from 1993. I'm assuming you guys remember the Arsenio Hall show. I won't do the hand motion or make the noise, but I thought about it. Arsenio had Mr. Rogers on to talk about how to take care of children in the aftermath of the LA race riots of the early 1990s. The clip is remarkable. Mr. Rogers actually talks about how important it is to care for just one child. He says, we can take care of just one child. We can help just one child feel safe. I had to wonder why Arsenio Hall had Mr. Rogers on his show, right? Of all people, it made me think that perhaps when Arsenio was a child, he, like a lot of us, looked to Mr. Rogers to tell him the truth. To tell him that, yes, there are bad things in this world, but that we should never doubt that we are loved. I think he had Mr. Rogers on his show because he wanted to give people some truth in the midst of their fear and their doubt and their turmoil. And I really believe this is why Jesus showed up in the middle of the disciples. He wanted to show Thomas the truth, to show us the truth of fully knowing that we are beloved sinners, the truth of knowing the lengths that God will go to prove to us our salvation. We live in a world that wants to tell us that doubt is okay. And you know what? Doubt is okay. Doubt all you want, by all means. But the problem with doubt is that it doesn't provide us with an answer. Because, not to use too Mississippi a phrase in this pulpit, but doubt and denial are kissing cousins. Sometimes I wonder if the world's affirmation of doubt is simply the devil's way of making us feel empty. Because the thing about denying the truth is that it ultimately breaks our heart. It is heartbreaking to deny the truth because it gives us nothing to hold on to, no truth to actually know. Reminds me of a story I heard recently about the Reverend Michael Green. Green is a British theologian and priest who has served in some very impressive places. When he was serving as rector of St. Aldate's Church in Oxford, England, he made several efforts as a Christian pastor to reach out to the school and to the faculty. On one such occasion, he had the following conversation with a woman who, irony of ironies, taught on the theological faculty of Oxford. So her job was to teach people about God, right? So this is the story. As the evening wore on, one of the women on the theological faculty got a bit tipsy and leaned over to the Reverend Green and said, "You know, don't you, that I don't believe any of this is true." And the Reverend Michael Green, a true pastor, leaned over and whispered back, "I know, but don't you wish it were?" What we hear in the gospel is that God will stop at nothing to tell us that it is all true. I want to end by pointing out something that compels me about this gospel reading. We hear at verse 26 that Jesus came and stood among them. We don't hear that Jesus knocked three times, right? We don't hear that the door was unlocked. We simply hear that he came and stood among them because Jesus was there the whole time. It didn't matter what the disciples had been thinking or feeling, Jesus had been there all along. And this is lasting good news for the doubters and the deniers in all of us. We can question the truth until the cows come home. We can tear down every institution, meaningful and otherwise, in our lives. We can engage in that same doubt that Thomas was working out for himself. And we will look up the same way Thomas looked up and see Jesus standing there in our failed ruins of trying to save ourselves. And Jesus will say to us, I came to save you. Here are my scars that prove you are healed. Maybe you don't know how you feel about Jesus. I mean that. I'm sure that there are people in this room this morning who don't know how they feel about Jesus. I would be surprised if everyone in this room had not had a moment or a season or even years in their lives when they didn't know how they felt about Jesus. But that's okay, because Jesus knows how he feels about you. He came, he healed, he died, and he rose again because he will do anything to let you know just how much he loves you. So, brothers and sisters, happy Easter. It's all true. Amen.